We're going to talk about blacklists. We're going to talk about whitelists and internet safety. We're going to talk about the polling apps that have come out lately. And we're going to talk about anonymity. Anonymity. Is there really such a thing? Hello there, everybody. Welcome, becausefamily.org, familytechblog.com. That's where you'll learn all about our ministry and how we help parents better understand the technology their kids use. I say it all the time now. Your kids are being called digital natives. You need to know what the digital world they're growing up in is like. So also live here on Facebook, if you have any questions, please ask me these questions. And if what I'm saying leads you to any more questions, ask your questions. I'd love to answer them. But I just want to direct you to Accountable to You, Accountable, the number two, Y-O-U.com. Use the promo code BecauseFamily to get accountability software to keep you and your kids safe, keep them alerting you if they view anything inappropriate. That is, if you use the promo code BecauseFamily, it helps our ministry by giving us 15% every time you pay your $6.99 a month for up to six devices. So please, please check that out. Also, like I said before, you can learn about our ministry at becausefamily.org, as well as read our blog. We're writing all the time about the latest internet things and stuff, and the latest internet safety topics and things like that. And you can check that out at familytechblog.com. So I did a workshop at a school on Thursday at an elementary school in Springfield, Missouri. I spoke to them about internet safety, to parents about internet safety, and I was super happy. Two different elementary schools from the same district were represented there. And I also spoke last night, Sunday night, at a church in Washington State. From right here in my home office in Branson, Missouri, I spoke to a church over Skype in Washington State, and I gave them a workshop and talked to them, answered their questions. So I'm going to take some of the questions I got at these two workshops I did this week and use those to kind of help you see some of the things that are being asked and some of the tools that you can use to protect your kids online as these things change all the time and things are updated. I was also on the radio this morning with KLFC radio answer some questions there too. So we're going to start off talking about blacklists and whitelists. Oh, also, if you have any questions, I will see it on my screen right here. So just ask it, put it in the comments. I'll answer the question in the comments. It'll stay in the comments as this video gets posted on Facebook and people will be able to see what you asked. So, and my answer to that. So, go ahead and comment that if you're watching live. And I thank you guys who are watching and who've watched and kind of clicked away and stuff. Thank you for watching. So blacklists and whitelists are, they are, basically the brute force way to keep your internet secure. A blacklist is exactly what it sounds like. It's your list that says, hey, nothing on this list is available online. You're not able to get there. So if your kids are spending too much time on YouTube and it's not being blocked by your filter, but you put it on the blacklist, it will from then on be blocked. So that's what a blacklist does. It makes things that would typically be visible on the internet and makes them not visible. It makes them filtered out because even if your filter wouldn't normally block it. So that's, like I said, that's a great example of blacklisting like YouTube because your kids spent too much time on it yesterday and so they're grounded for a while. Or you blacklist a social media app or site. And so because you don't want them using it or they're grounded from it, again, something like that, you can do that. Circle has where you can basically turn off access, Wi-Fi access or data access to different apps. And so that's the same as a blacklist. It's just eliminating that from the or eliminating the ability to use that. Sorry, I'm using my phone here to check on comments to my post earlier to see if there's any questions I need to answer. But that's what a blacklist does. And I recommend using a blacklist when you have a filter, because the thing about using a filter is that you have to trust that the people who create that filter and are keeping it up to date, that their standards for internet safety are the same as yours. So if you've got a 10, 11, 12-year-old child who you've got an internet filter on their phone because they have to use it for research for school sometimes, or they like to watch videos or whatever, you have to trust that the people that make that filter have the same idea of what inappropriate content is to block as you do. And because that's not always the case, it's important to use these blacklists to add stuff that you think of, or add stuff that they come across that you don't want them to come across again, so that it'll never be visible on their phone or their computer or their device again. So blacklists are good for that. Whitelists are the opposite. A whitelist is basically, this is what you can view. There's two ways you can use it, I guess. The first way is, you know, they're accessing the whitelist, or they're accessing the internet, and they come across something that's blocked that shouldn't be. So, you know, a YouTube video is blocked even though, because something in the comments is ugly wording or something, and or whatever reason, advertising is something that flagged the filter, and so it blocked it. Well, if that happens, then you're able to go in and say, hey, let's allow this site, put it on the whitelist so it doesn't get blocked anymore, because it's not really that inappropriate. I have stuff get blocked on my filter sometimes because of comments. So if I'm Googling troubleshooting for computer problems or something like that, and I click on a link to go check it out, sometimes I go check that out and it won't let me through. And it's because the filter I have is factory set filters, the standard filter, and it's basically on off. I can't set the sensitivity or whatever. So I have to go and have the information put in order to allow that site so that in the future it won't be blocked anymore if I need to go back there and look at that stuff. So a whitelist allows you to do that. The other option, the other way you can use a whitelist is by putting your list of sites that are able to be visited and making that the only sites available. So for instance, our other MacBook is the one we use for our kids to do typing and on a website where they do typing lessons, or to do coding kind of stuff. My son likes to do that, play the games where you kind of code your own stuff and then play what you've made. Well, we can put those sites into a whitelist and then tell our filter to only allow what's in the whitelist. And what that means is they can't get to any other part of the internet. All they can access is what we've put in that whitelist. So that makes a whitelist very helpful, especially if you have younger kids, because you can set it up to say, hey, you can get online and do research, or you can get online and play these games at pbskids.org or Disney or whatever, but if you try to go anywhere else on the internet at all, it's going to block you and not allow you through. So for that, you've got to set a profile and put your kid's name in it, make sure they have the password or whatever. And so you do that, and then you set the whitelist up, and you only put in the sites that you want them to go to. And maybe if your kids are pretty young, like mine, it may be 2-3 websites, and that's the end of it. They're not allowed to do anything else. A good whitelist will allow you to put in, like, pbskids.org. And then that'll allow everything on pbskids.org. All of the subdomains and stuff won't affect it at all. One thing that has that accountability software and blacklists and whitelists can have problems with sometimes is when you click a link and you're redirected through other links. Now that happens, this came up at a session I did at an elementary school this last Thursday. A dad said, hey, when I have filters on and my sites, the sites that the school want me to access are getting blocked because it's going through two redirects to get there. And what that means is if I click a link, it's going to take me, first off, it's going to take me to a link that tells the site I'm going to where I came from for advertising information and things like that. And then it might take me to another link that's just the basic portal into the site I'm wanting to get to. Then that link's going to take me to the actual secure, safe site that I'm trying to use for the school or whatever. So that's two redirects to get me to one place, and filters often don't like that. You have to use your whitelists by asking your administration at your school district, hey, I'm getting blocked because of the redirects. Is there somebody that can give me a copy of these links that I can copy and paste into my whitelist so that I won't get blocked anymore? Because you're not, you know, it's blocking you. And then when you go to allow it, you're not allowing every link in the chain, basically, of links. I know it's technical and kind of confusing, but if you ask your school administration, hey, I need to talk to the person who may have this list of redirects for this website, because I need to put those in my whitelist. That's the best way to use a filter and keep from being blocked when you go into sites you need to go to. So there's that. So blacklists and whitelists are helpful, they're useful, and they're very important if you want to, especially if you want to keep your younger kids safe. Whitelists are a really good way to just keep them off the randomness on the internet, because they can click a link and it won't go anywhere. If they click an ad, it won't go anywhere. It'll block them immediately if it's not on your whitelist. So I recommend using those. Another thing that's a major deal coming out lately, been very popular, is polling apps, and especially anonymous polling apps. It's even become such a deal that Instagram has added polling to the stories feature. So when you go into Instagram, you'll see now, if you're going to make a story thing, you can put in there a poll and you ask a question and then you create two answers for them to choose from. That's become a major trend in social media right now. In fact, last week, TBH, stands for To Be Honest, is an app, and it was number one in social media last week and the week before that. It's dropped down to number, I think, six now. It was number one last week, and it added a bunch of new states that it allows you to use it in, because it uses your location to connect you with people around you to ask these questions to. Yeah. And so it added a bunch of new states, and so it got inundated with a whole bunch more users, and it skyrocketed it to number one in social media. Well, now it's leveled off at about number six, but it's above a bunch of very popular social media apps like WhatsApp and stuff like that, and Snapchat, I believe. So what this does is it allows you, again, to ask questions and get anonymous answers from people. And then in some of the apps, TBH allows you to do this. You can reach out to them and ask if they'll identify who they are. Here's the problem I see with that. As somebody who worked with teenagers for several years and studies the neuroscience of teenagers, studies just the statistics with what they go through and what they deal with, and I once was a teenager, as you were, I've learned that a lot of times teenagers can't handle criticism. They can't handle being told something negative about themselves, even if it's true. And so these apps provide that anonymity. The other issue is that anonymity causes young people, or the false sense of anonymity the internet brings you, causes young people to do stupid stuff or say stupid stuff sometimes. And this is exactly what makes these polling apps dangerous, in my opinion. IMO, if you will. IMHO, in my humble opinion. It makes them a little dangerous, because imagine being a 15-year-old girl, insecure, concerned about how you look and how people feel about you. You post on TBH, which one of the examples in the App Store is who has the best smile. Okay? You put your name with two other names, and you don't win, because these people can vote however they want. You don't win. You're the third on the list, in fact. You've been told you have the least good smile out of those three people, whatever the heck that means. How does that affect you as a 15-year-old girl going through the changes you're going through the mental and emotional and hormonal things that you deal with? How does that affect you? Well, probably not very well. And this now there's thousands and thousands of users of this app, most of them high school students, because high schools and colleges are the target audience for this app, for TBH at least. But that's what this does. The other one is Sarah Ha, ha 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 ha, whatever. It's the app that allows people to just randomly comment anonymously about you. Hey, what do you think about me? Anonymous comments. And that's crazy, because it's the same issue. Imagine being a young person going through all the stuff young people go through, and then you get asked, you get somebody says, you know, I used to think you were cute, but you've kind of gained weight. Because they're on anonymous, they feel like they can just say that. Now what? You're that 15-year-old girl who's going, gained weight, what the heck? It's bad for them. So you need to be careful. Keep an eye on that kind of stuff. and just watch these apps because they're getting popular, or they've gotten popular. They are very popular. They're so popular that the social media app like Instagram, which is the copycat app that tries to do all the things the other popular apps are doing, and it's working because they're the number two most popular social media after Facebook now. You have to be careful because it's so popular that they're even copying it. So you need to keep an eye on your kids, who, what they're saying, what questions they're asking, and who, what kind of voice they're hearing from people if they ask these kinds of questions. This is the kind of reason, the kind of stuff that's the, it just proves to me that we have to be seeing what apps our kids are downloading and installing, because it could be dangerous. Anonymity is just not real online. It's not real, and it's dangerous. The sense that you are anonymous on the internet takes away any thought that there might be consequences for your actions. And since you don't feel like there's consequences for what you're doing, you do or say whatever you want because you're online and nobody knows who you are, or you don't see them and see the expression of how it felt when they heard what you said about them. Or, like I said, it's an anonymous app, so you just say whatever you want, and who cares, and not think about how that's going to make that person feel. Neuroscience tells us that teenagers are biologically not incapable, but they struggle biologically to think about how other people feel. Imagine how much that's amplified by the sense of anonymity that these apps bring these young people. That's the issue. That's the problem, and that's why it's dangerous to me. I haven't got any more questions, so I just answered those two that I got at the seminars that I did this last week. But I thank you guys for watching and listening. I just chatted for 16 minutes here about those things. So thank you for watching. And if you're listening on the podcast, thanks for listening. And this is going to be Family Tech Weekly. So continue to follow us at familytechblog.com. Becausefamily.org, you can learn about our workshops. I can do a Skype workshop. I'll teach you all about the internet safety stuff you can use to protect your kids, the tools and resources and the mindset that you need to have to protect your kids online. Do it over Skype. If you're in the area, I can come to your living room and we can do it that way. Like a Mary Kay party. You invite all your friends, you make some snacks, you guys enjoy that. And then I teach internet safety instead of selling makeup, and you don't have to pay me anything unless you want to invite me to come help you get things set up for you, or just make a donation to Because Family, because that's all we do. That's all I do. It's my full-time thing. So becausefamily.org to learn about that. familytechblog.com to keep reading the latest tech news and information as it relates to parents and internet safety. And other than that, thank you for watching and for listening. And hopefully Melinda can join me soon for one of these Family Tech Blog episodes. And we'll talk to you later. See ya.